Well, good day, everybody. Welcome again. This is Pastor Denny with 15 in Quarantine on April the 29th, Wednesday night. This will be our last meeting till May. I think it'll be May 1st, I think, Friday. So we are here again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you want to open up your Bibles there or just listen. And as people tune in, we'll go ahead and pray and give another minute here for people to see the live cast. Lord, we just thank you again for the time together that we have. We just ask for your blessing upon your word as we look at it and just take a brief few moments. But Lord, as always, no matter how much time that we give to you, Lord, you can use it mightily if we do it willingly. So Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to share your word. We just ask for your blessing upon it. And you will just continue to mold and shape us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're down here to verse 11 is where we're going to pick up. But verse 11 is, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. And just a quick reminder, the one verses before that, Paul had talked about the second coming of Christ, which is judgment, which is wrath. And Paul covered at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4 that we have a secret coming of Christ called the rapture, where God takes the church, the body of Christ, away and for to forever be with him. Then tribulation starts. Then at the end of the tribulation, then the second coming of Christ, that's the wrath and that judgment. So, and then he makes that point there in verse 10, well, in verse 9, that we are saved from that. We're saved from that wrath. We have attained salvation, not from our souls, but from that time period. So the church of body of Christ is gone, then the tribulation, then the second coming of Christ, and we don't have to worry about the end times. So here we are again, picking up 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So here we are, beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, not just to know their names, not just to say, oh, that person's a pastor, that person's a trustee, that person's an elder, that person's on the board, that person does this or that, but to know them, because these are talking about leaders in the Lord that are over you. So don't just know them by name. Know that they have a position in the Lord. It isn't just some random thing. There's a reason why God has these people in the positions they are. So he says to know them, that what? Labor among you. So one challenge to us leaders as well, that we need to labor. The people need to be in the Lord, laboring all the time. 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about there's a labor too, a toiling, to the point where you're weary or you grow exhausted, that you're involved so much. And that doesn't mean physical things all the time, but also mental things, being in spiritually involved. So 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about being toiling in the word and also in doctrine. So beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. So this leadership that's over you, it's not talking about someone who bosses you around. It's not talking about dictator. It's not talking about do this, do that. But it's talking about people that are over you in the Lord. And these people have different qualities, that laboring, that admonishing. So they're basically leading by examples. They're not there just to tell you what to do. They're leaders, not bosses. So to stand before you as well doesn't mean, again, they're not over you in that sense, but they're the ones that lead the way, that you follow behind. They're the ones that should be setting that example for the Lord. Just like in the structure of a family unit, you have the husband and the wife that establishes a family unit, but then the husband directly is responsible for his family and then to the Lord, just like the church, the body of Christ, has the same structure. You know, there's things that are for the Lord, but he also has leadership roles set in place. So I know for me, example, I have a responsibility to the congregation to make sure that I'm laboring for the Lord so I can properly labor for them. I need to make sure I'm admonishing them, but everything has to be done in the Lord for me. I can't have a head, big head and say, oh, look at me, you know, and go about my business that way. No, I need to realize I'm laboring for the Lord. And whenever I do that, then I can properly admonish the people that I'm supposed to be helping. So again, beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, basic the leaders, the examples, and admonish you. And that's key. It's a challenge for both of us. Leaders tend, like I said, should not be the dictator, the boss. They should be a leader. So the challenge for leaders, this word admonish here, is basically where you get the idea of counseling from, to put into mind. Basically, you establish a fact that you see the people in the congregation and you want to share the word of God with them in such a way that they have the proper thinking in relation to God's word. If God's word says, don't do this, then it's your job to make that real in their life so they have that proper thinking, so they can properly walk with the Lord. So that word admonish means kind of like the put in the mind's basic idea of counseling. And a lot of leaders will say, I don't do counseling and whatnot. Well, in reality, a pastor or any leader, elder and all that, that's part of their job, whether they like it or not. They are to be admonishing and counseling. And any time you break forth God's word is counseling. So it's a challenge to all leaders as well. So again, beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Now it says, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. To esteem them very highly, doesn't mean you worship these leaders that are in the Lord over you. It doesn't mean you worship them like gods. Remember, Paul had that chance when he went to the Ephesus. He had that chance to be worshipped as a god. And he said, no, nah. You know, that's not the case. That's not what it's talking about here. To esteem them very highly. It's basically to have respect. It means to just appreciate those that do labor in the Lord and admonish you. And you should. You should appreciate all those that willingly serve and labor for the Lord, no matter what. So we exhort you, brethren. Oh, sorry. Again, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love. So appreciate them in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. So don't be that troublemaker in church. Don't be the one that's always looking. Don't be the one that's like ready to quickly say with be full of envy or wait a second. We have almost gave away a secret that's coming up here soon. So, which I'll pause for a moment. Be on the lookout for a surprise live cast that I'm going to show what's going on in the church. So, side note, and I almost gave it away in an example. So anyhow, to esteem each other very highly in love for their work's sake. So appreciate one another, especially the leadership that the Lord has over you when they're laboring hard to protect the flock in the church. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. This word warn here is pretty much the same word as admonish, but it's in the negative sense. So admonish is the one where you put into mind like that proper thinking, but the negative sense too, sometimes there's some people that are outright doing some things that they shouldn't be doing. It's a different way of how you approach them. So warn them that are unruly. Unruly is that very sense that you're going to put them in order. Sometimes people get out of control, and sometimes you got to stand up and have a firm, I don't want to say fist, but a firm hand, not a fist, a firm hand to say, no, you need to stop. That is done. It's finished. And so we exhort your brethren to warn them that are unruly. And you'll know when that time comes. Don't ever look for the opportunity and hope someone's unruly so you can act out of your flesh, because that'll be your flesh. Comfort the feeble-minded. This isn't talking about people who are have issues all their life or just weak. No, these are people who have went through something that has made them vulnerable, maybe. People who are heavy at heart. People who have lost a loved one or going through a disease or an illness that just surfaced in their life. So that feeble-minded, that idea of, to me, of being of heavy heart. And we're to comfort them. Comfort here means not just to say, oh, hey, here's a card for you. No, comfort, this word comfort here means to come alongside of them. It's a very personal means. It isn't just say, let me do my job, sign my name on a card and send it on your way. Now, maybe that's the only thing you can do, but you put your heart into it. You do it for a reason, and the Lord knows where your heart's at. But here, this word comfort means to come alongside the feeble-minded, come alongside the people who are heavy-hearted, and be very personal about it, and not just something you feel like you have to. When you're full of love for the Lord, you're going to want to do it. Then you'll have proper comfort. So the comfort of the feeble-minded, support the weak. How many times do we see people that get knocked down, maybe in a folly, maybe something that they were stupid at doing, or maybe a sin that happened in their life, or just something that was unexpected that they didn't do, but they get knocked down and they need help getting back up. Support them. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Kind of like how he ends that little section. Be patient toward all men. Patience of like having that endurance to, like the Lord has, long suffering. And Paul mentions that even in Ephesians here, when he talks about the unity of the Spirit, the idea for the body of Christ, the Lord has already established a unity that binds all of us, and he charges us to keep it now, and to do it with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's the same idea he's talking about the Thessalonians, that we should be full of that love, that love like the Lord Jesus Christ had when he endured so much, he suffered so much, and did the will of the Father clear to the end. That great love that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies, he still died for us. It should be that same mentality that we endure, and we always do what's right in the Lord. So see that none render evil for evil. Many times people want to get vengeance. I can't believe that person did that in the body. Let's get them. We know how to pay them back. No. That's the Lord's job. Our job is to share God's word in love. This idea of admonishing, too, that the leaders are supposed to be doing. It's the idea of counseling them. They don't do it to purposely set them straight. That would be the negative sense on warning the unruly who do step out of line. You need that firm hand. But here, render evil. Don't render evil for evil. You're full of love. You're full of speaking the truth in love, having that seasoned salt in your speech. Whereas some people want to say, hey, sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. Some people want to say, render evil for evil, so they'll get up, share God's word, and say, look, God's word says this, so you better do it. You're out of line. Not once did they care about helping that person. They cared, they related their sin to the person. They hated their sin, so then that hatred went over and hated the person. Instead, we should see, okay, evil, the sin is evil, but how are we going to get to that believer? How are we going to help that believer out? Well, we're going to do it by, hating the sin and then properly loving that person to restore them, to help them get through it, or whatever it takes to bring them back in line with the Lord. So don't render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Follow, ever follow that which is good. What is good? What truly is good? What is the standard for all of us in our life? It's the word of God. And that's why Paul says here in verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Because leaders have a huge responsibility. Leaders of your church, the pastors, the elders, and such. When it says they that labor and the ones that admonish you, that's a lot. That's to be a big example. So both among yourselves, they'll ever fall after that which is good. Leaders have a challenge here to always be in God's word. So whenever it comes time to admonish someone, counsel them, put into their mind, and that should always be done from the pulpit as well. It's a way of sharing God's word and relating it into their lives. You put into their mind what God's word is saying for their life. Same thing here, but ever follow after that which is good. That's how we do it, how we should do it, and how we want to do it, because God's word is true. And if you want to look to the rest of the world for your answers, then what are you going to align with? You're going to align with sin. You're going to align with flesh. You're going to align with Satan and whatever else that isn't the word of God. So then your way of thinking is going to be out of sorts. It's not going to be aligned with God's word. You're going to actually feel things you shouldn't be feeling, doing things you shouldn't be doing. But whenever you align your thinking, align your emotions with God's word, the Holy Spirit will truly produce the proper feelings. So it is a challenge for both of us. And to sum it all up is respect and appreciate those that truly do lead and labor and love and admonish you. And then as the body of Christ, support each other. Constantly put others first, not you. Put the word of God first in your life. Don't let you be the one that offends. Let the Holy Spirit do the offending. It would be his job. People want to say, well, I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit with me. No. The Spirit's going to be like, yeah, you take it with you. But where's the power coming from? The Holy Spirit, not you. So let him do that work while you just present his word in love, in just both word and deed. So again, thank you for tonight. Thank you for joining in on me. It was a little bit of a rush tonight. Just got here just in time. And again, stay tuned for a quick live cast that will come up probably, I'm going to think, either Thursday night or early Friday sometime. And I have a little surprise for Friendship Congregational Bible Church, the local body here. So stay tuned for that as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again as we progress through 1 Thessalonians, just looking at the surface of it, just gleaning a few things from it. Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon it. Continue to mold us and shape us and change us into your image so that we can properly stand for you and then start to work for you and share your love with all those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining me. God bless and take care.